special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo, what's up, what is going on? This is a special edition of the Boxing Source Radio Show on February 4th, 2020. I am your host, James Bell, lead boxing analyst for the Core Truth on Sports and the leader of the Boxing Source on social media. You can follow us on Facebook through the Boxing Source. You can also follow us on Instagram, the Boxing Source, on Twitter, at Boxing Source 2, and you could also subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press one key to get on queue and you'll be able to talk live on the show. But right now, we're trying to see if we could get our special guests on the line. So bear with me here as I will get the special guest on here for them to talk on the show. So here we go. We're going to get that person online here. Let's see if we can get them connected.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, my brother? This is the WBC featherweight champion, Mr. Gary Russell Jr. What's going on, brother?
Man, nothing much. I'm doing all right. Who I'm speaking with?
You're speaking with James Bell, host of the Boxing Source Radio Show. Had an interview with you one-on-one before over
That's
at the
right.
Game of Boxing Gym. So
there
you
go.
You
What's
on
going
here.
On?
Oh, man,
man,
I'm chilling.
It's good for you having me, man. It's good being halved on this show, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the love and all the support, man.
Oh, no doubt, my brother, no doubt. Now, I know that you are getting yourself prepared for your fight over in Allentown, PA, to defend that WBC featherweight championship against Tushar Nyambaya. Just, you know, get into that real quick, and then I'll be able to follow up after you're giving your intro.
Okay. Well, I mean, like I say, we going against a tough opponent. I wish it wasn't this guy. I wish it was a Leo Santa Cruz or Javante Tank Davis, you know, but fortunately, that's not who we got. You know, I'm forced to deal with the mandatory challenges. I'm fighting all these guys that has everything to gain and nothing to lose, you know. So I'm pretty sure he's definitely a solid opponent. He's technically sound, you know, 2012 Olympian and silver medalist. But I think my ring generalship, my IQ, and my hand speed and punching abilities would ultimately dictate the fight.
Gotcha. Now we did kind of hint at this in our one-on-one interview at Enigma Boxing Gym about, you know, going up against Tushar Nyambaya. And just as a note, that interview is pretty much like the highest viewed video that I have on the Boxing Source page by far. So, like, getting a lot of interest, you know, through you on that. And, but, yeah, like, talking about, you know, this particular opponent, he is coming in there 11-0. He's, you know, a fairly tough opponent there, originally from Mongolia. Had his last win against Claudio Marrero back in January of 2019. But, like, going to, like, real quick about, you know, your overall preparation for this particular fight, being there at Enigma Boxing Gym and whatnot.
Oh, man, the preparation has been great. You know, we prepared differently based upon whoever our opponent is that we're competing against. Once again, I think this guy, he's very durable. He's very solid. He got decent pop, and I think he's much more technically sound than a lot of the other guys out here that's competing right now today. I mean, his pedigree speaks for itself. He's a 2012 silver medalist in the Olympic Games. But, man, we work hard. We work hard. We put the work in the gym. We grind. We push ourselves to the limit. We never cut any corners. You know, people talk about my layoffs and stuff like that, but you never once see, you know, regardless of whatever the time frame is of my layoff, whenever I got in the ring, you never seen any ring rust. You never see any of that. You just see Mr. Gary Russell Jr. performing at the best. You know, and that's what we expect to do on February 8th.
Yeah, correct, correct. And, you know, as an example of that, when I visited the gym and, hey, like I said, it's grimy. It's hot. It's grimy in there. And, you know, I was in there hot. And, you know, you were pretty much in your gear, you know, with the shirt and shorts, but also the, you know, long sleeves in there to work that extra sweat to
right.
You know, get that extra work going in there. So, hey, man, listen, me standing in there, I know that I pretty much had a workout standing in there myself.
Just standing there was the workout. That's right. No, so you got to be forced through the fire, man. So we definitely ready. We put the work in. We in shape. We ready and we hungry. You know, a lot of these guys, when they become world champions, they get placed, you know, and stuff like that. That doesn't happen on our end. You know, we focused. We ready.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. Now, just so a little background there about Enigma Boxing Gym. Could you like let listeners know like how you like started out there and like how it's been for you in comparison to like, you know, maybe when you, you know, were early in your career, like how much of a difference it has been, you know, being there at that gym with your, you know, your father and your brothers and among the like.
I mean, we was always the type of people that always made the best out of whatever it was that we had. You know, growing up when we were younger, you know, we didn't have a boxing gym. You know, we used to train at once. We used to train out of the lobby of the apartment building that we used to live in a long time ago. You know, and then once we moved into the house that we were living in, you know, we still didn't have a gym. And we made the basement of our house the actual gym. You know, mm-hmm. So we always got it all the way from the dirt. We always got it from the mud. We always, you know, had to push and get through. You know, we won multiple tournaments, national tournaments, from training within the basement of our house or training in the lobby of an apartment building. You know, so it was great to be able to get it, our own official boxing gym. You know, and I wanted to keep it authentic. We wanted to keep it authentic. We wanted to keep it grimy. A lot of people feel as though when you get in these gyms, you got to have this nice, elaborate equipment and everything else. You know, we wanted to keep the essence of the gym raw. You know, that's what it is. You know, we got everything we need. You know, we got our bags. We got all the equipment that we need. None of that extra special high-tech stuff. The special high-tech stuff is us. We're the special high-tech stuff. We put the work in the gym. We get it out, you know. I'm grateful that we had the opportunity to create our own gym, get our own gym, and have our own legacy, and to be able to help and bring other young guys along, man, and give them some sense of direction through life.
Yeah, gotcha, man. And, you know, that hard work just, you know, starting off it, you know, being, you know, out there in the apartment complexes to the house and, like you said, winning national tournaments and national championships and, you know, being able to compete in the Olympic Games to the point where, you know, you're at now, being the WBC featherweight champion of the world. And, you know, you're going into, you know, this next defense out here. And I know that you did mention a couple of names that you couldn't necessarily get, and that is Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Tank Davis. Now, Now, the whole thing with Leo Santa Cruz, you know, we know, you know, a little bit about that. I think we may have something here. I don't know if this is a clip or whatnot. Let me see if I can run it. I think this was from one of your previous fights. Let me see if this thing can run through here real quick.
For the record, it's clearly a lot of ignorant people out here in the world that's misconstruing what's going on. You know what I'm saying? The fact, ain't nobody trying to do nothing to Leo Santa Cruz that by a long shot. You know what I'm saying? I actually respect the guy.
Yeah, that was like that little instance that you had where you went in and you met with his father. You know, when I think your brothers had like were part of that same card or something like that.
Correct.
So you were in the area.
Yeah, my brother was there. You know, I just thought that it was very ironic that, you know, I've been a champion for the last 5 years within the same weight class and weight division that Leo Santa Cruz is in, you know, and I can't get within arm's reach of him. So why is it that I can get this close to be able to put my arms around your dad, but I can't get within 10 feet of you? You know, that's pretty much what that whole situation was about. I'm one of these guys that's willing to make the fights happen. I'm one of these guys that's calling these guys out that's supposed to be considered the best. You know, I'm willing to answer the call to whoever wants to fight me. You know, I just wish some of these other guys had that same type of mentality.
Yeah. And, you know, after, you know, that thing went down and, you know, after our one-on-one interview, it seems like by the end of, you know, 2019, you know, there were things that kind of was worked out, you know, kind of like behind the scenes or something like that. And where I came to the basic conclusion that Leo Santa Cruz is being set up to be an opponent for Gervonta Tank Davis. And I pretty much like thought that before Tank Davis had his fight against Yuriorkis Gamboa. So they were like setting all of that up and like leaving you off, you know, basically to the side or something like that, because they didn't want to, you know, have any parts of Mr. Gary Russell Jr. in that case. Now, we know what's going on with Gervonta Tank Davis. I'm not going to go into any technicals about that. Maybe someone else may call in and talk about that. But there was another person that did call your name, and that was Mr. Tevin Farmer.
Correct.
At the time, the IBF Super Featherweight Champion. But as of last Thursday, he ran into your former opponent, Mr. Jojo Diaz, and ended up losing that IBF Featherweight title. It seems like, you know, all of these guys are kind of having some problems when once they mention your name, man. Like, I don't know.
I mean, they call me the boogeyman of the boxing right now. You know, I'm the boogeyman of the sport of boxing. I'm one of the most feared fighters right now in the sport of boxing. No one is willing to fight me. None of these champions are willing to fight me. The only guys that's willing to fight are these guys that has everything to gain and nothing to lose. You know, they're just willing to put it all on the line because, you know, if they lose, then, hell, I lost to one of the best fighters in the world. And if I win, you know, at least I probably shocked the world, you know. But none of these other champions are willing to put it on the line and take the initiative or take the risk to step in the ring with me. You know, after this fight, I definitely plan on moving heavyweight. It was nobody at 130 that I wanted to compete against. I was planning on jumping 130 and going straight to 35, you know, because I wanted to put myself in the weight division with Gervonta Tank Davis or Vasily Lomachenko. I definitely want to rematch with him. And I felt like the only way I'll be able to get that done is by putting myself in the same weight division as these guys. You know, the only reason why I would have stopped at 130, it would have been specifically for Tevin Farmer if he were to beat Jojo Diaz, because once again, I'm one of these fighters that would answer the call if someone said they won the fight. Unfortunately, he couldn't get past Jojo.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, a very bad night there for Tevin Farmer. In reference to, you know, the featherweight division, you know, like you said, no one wanted to, you know, step up and fight you. You had Leo Santa Cruz, and, you know, now going into, you know, 2020, they're trying to set up the thing with Shakur Stevenson and Josh Warrington. So it's like they're able to try to do a unification fight that way, but neither one of those guys, you know, wanted to face you. So that's why, you know, you're pretty much saying that you would want to move up in weight. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
The last time that we talked, you were like, yeah, it's no problem for you to, you know, fight at 130 or 135. And that's the thing, is that you got those other guys that are basically chasing what's there at 135. So 135 seems like the premier division to be in right now. That's
I mean,
it's only
like
right. Like you said, you have Lomachenko, you have Teofimo Lopez, you know, that's there. And, you know, Gervonta Tank Davis is moving up there. And I think they're trying to set up that fight, you know, between Davis and Santa Cruz at 135.
Well, to be honest with you, what weight would that be at? Because there's no way in hell Gervonta would be able to make 130, because he couldn't make one. He barely made 135. Made 135 his last fight. You know, I feel like his unprofessionalism, you know, will ultimately catch up with him if they was to make that fight. Gervonta being able to make the weight at 130. You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, Leo Santa Cruz he's really not a 130 pounder, you know. He's a 126 pounder, to be honest with you. You know, he was always a smaller frame guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him moving up to 135. It's possible, mm-hmm. though. You know, it's possible. But if the fight was to happen, it definitely wouldn't take place at 130, because Gervonta Tank Davis, I don't think he has the ability to cut the weight to get down to 130.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, you know, before I continue here, I think I have someone here that may have a question here for you from the 646 area code. You're live on the Boxing Source Radio Show with Mr. Gary Russell Jr. What's up?
Hey, what's up, JR? You already know who it is, man. How you doing, Mr. Gary Russell Jr.?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You know, I've been following, you know, a lot of the stuff that's been, allegedly going on with you in the boxing news. You never know what to believe or what not to believe. Apparently, you had talks with Eddie Hearn and Matchroom that didn't go, and nothing came from it, basically. What exactly happened with the situation with you and Eddie Hearn?
I mean, nothing actually happened. We had a gentleman's conversation. We sat down and talked, and that was pretty much it. Like I say, me and Al Haymon, we have a great business relationship. Eddie didn't say anything that really jumped out to me that wanted to force my hand. He didn't give me an offer that I couldn't refuse. You know, I think Eddie's a pretty good guy. I can say this: If Tevin would have beaten JoJo Diaz, me and Eddie would have definitely sat down and chopped it back up, and I wouldn't have mind, you know, doing a one fight deal with Eddie or something like that, set something up so we can make that fight happen. You know, I'm one of these guys that have the flexibility to move around as I please, because I'm not locked in or tied in with any manager or promoter or any major network. You know, so I have the flexibility to move around as I please or however I see fit. And, you know, nothing just never really came from it. Eddie's a real good guy. He's cool. I mean, that was pretty much it. Nothing really came from it.
Do you have a list of fights? Well, I know you're not overlooking the challenge of fighting. Obviously, he's going to be a tough competitor, heavy hitter, young and fresh. But do you have any fights that you want to make for yourself this year or in the next couple years?
I mean, of course, the same guys that I've been naming. I always wanted the Leo Santa Cruz fight. I wanted the Javante Tank Davis fight. I definitely wanted a rematch with Vasily Lomachenko. You know, these are the guys that we definitely want to compete against. And I feel like the only way I can get these fights with these other guys is to put myself in that weight division. You know, I've been trying to fight these guys. You've been hearing me call out everybody. You don't hear too many people mention my name. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason for that. You know, I bring too much challenge and too much resistance to a lot of the people that's out here in the sport of boxing today. You know, and I think that's one of the biggest issues. But it's fair game. These are the guys that I want. Those are guys that I want to compete against, and I want to try to make those fights happen.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I really got right now, JR.
All right. Now, you would talk about, you know, having those fights there at the super featherweight or lightweight division. Now, there are like a few, you know, other guys that are out there, like a Devin Haney at lightweight, Robert Easta Jr. at lightweight, Ryan Garcia.
Robert Easta.
Yeah.
Look,
I did see.
They all.
He's like 140 now, JR.
But listen, this is the thing, though. This is the thing. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. You're right. He is 140. But at the end of the day, I'm one of these guys. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I'm one of those guys that will stand behind the odds and believe in my pure God-given ability. You know, and I feel like the reason why I'm not getting a lot of the fights that I want is because a lot of these guys know the level of resistance that I bring. So hopefully once I do move up in weight, you'll have these guys that feel as though that they have somewhat of an advantage and say, well, you know what, he's small, maybe I'll take the fight then. That's what we hoping will happen, and I'm going to break my foot off in the ass when they do.
Well, what do you say to the criticism that's been lobbied against you that you are very hard to deal with as it pertains to negotiations and you're not interested in fighting more than once a year?
I'll say that to people that say that I'm very hard to deal with, I'll say that if conducting business accordingly and the proper way, if they look at that as being hard to deal with, then they shouldn't be participating in the sport of boxing anyway. You know, all I ask for is my just due. You know, you have a lot of fighters that put their lives on the line whenever they step into the ring. I'm not hard to deal with. I just ask for my just due. You know, if I was to compete, I want everything that I've worked. I want everything that I've earned. You have these managers and promoters that, you know, boxers have a black eye of being ignorant and not understanding the concept of business. I'm one of those guys that do understand the concept of business, and I have a very good understanding of it, you know. So when I ask for certain things in a fight, they consider it taboo because none of the other fighters are asking for it, and this is the stuff that a lot of the managers and promoters take advantage from with the other fighters. They can't take advantage of me, so that's the reason why someone would say that I'm hard to deal with, because I do understand the concept of business a lot better than these other fighters, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's sad to say, but that's really what it is. That's honestly the straight truth. You know, I mean, just look at it this way. If you had 20 people competing, and realistically they're supposed to get $1,000 whenever they compete, but, you know, they're just grateful to get $500, and you can put that other $500 in your pocket. 9 out of 10, most people will probably just put that $500 in their pocket. Now, I'm one of those guys that know that when I compete, I'm supposed to get X amount of dollars. So when I compete and I ask for those X amount of dollars, they look at it as me being difficult to deal with because I'm not one of those guys that's easy to push over, and I'm not going to just take anything. You know, a lot of people really don't know their worth. I'm one of those guys that understand my worth, and I refuse to settle for anything less than that. So if you consider that hard to deal with, then I guess I am hard to deal with.
Fighting once a year?
Nobody's willing to fight.
Are you looking to be more active this year?
I've been looking to be more active my entire career. You know, ever since I became a world champion, no one was willing. I am the longest reigning WBC champion current up to date. The WBC is the most prestigious title that there is to have in the sport of boxing. Why is it that none of the other fighters try to get it from me? The only fighters that try to get this title are the people that work their way up the rankings to challenge the champion. You, once again, these are people that have everything to gain and nothing to lose. All of these other fighters, they're not willing to step in the ring and compete against me. This is why we don't get a unification match. And as far as me competing once a year, whenever I do compete, because I am stern and firm about understanding the concept of business and knowing my worth, when I do compete, I make sure I get my just due. You know, and it doesn't make sense for me to just go around and fight a nobody just to get a fight. I don't believe in that. You know, I want to fight the people that they consider the best. It's just that simple. You know, a lot of people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You know, a lot of these guys really just don't want to fight me. You know, I can't make these guys get in the ring.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that one. And, you know, like you said, you had this upcoming fight February 8th over in Allentown, PA. So let me see. I think we have another caller in here live from the 267. Let me see if they can get on here. You're on live with the Boxing Source Radio Show and Mr. Gary Russell Jr. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What's
Jamil Parker, YSN Sports Media.
Say it again.
I said Jamil Parker from YSM Sports Media. It's a pleasure to be talking with you, Gary.
Man, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure of all minds, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. What's up? What you got for me?
All right, Gary. There's a lot of guys, right, that act like they want the smoke, but when it's time to get in the ring with you, nothing ever materializes. How frustrating is that?
I mean, it's very frustrating. It's frustrating, but it's flattering at the same time, you know, because at the end of the day, I understand what it is. You know, we get paid based upon our ability to produce wins and to perform. We are entertainers. And a lot of these fighters, a lot of these managers, a lot of these promoters don't feel like it's in their fighters' best interest to step in the ring with Mr. Gary Russell Jr. because their chances of producing is very slim. You know, so it's frustrating. But it's flattering as well because it goes to show me that I'm doing my job correct. You know, because if I got 1 million people that want to fight me, then that means I ain't doing something right. But if I'm breaking my foot off in people's asses, then I can see why they wouldn't want to fight me. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I get it, you know. It's a little frustrating. I feel like the sport of boxing is getting weak. You know, the fighters, the managers, the promoters. I think back when, it was much stronger, you know. I got too much courage, too much ego, too much testosterone, too much integrity. I'm walking around at 126, 127 pounds. A guy can walk in my gym. He can be 150, 160 pounds. He can be 170 pounds. If he says he want to fight me, the man in me would not be able to turn that down. We're going to have to rumble. I got too much all of that in me to make that happen. I wish some of these other fighters had that same type of mentality. But it's apparent that a lot of them lack it. They are willing to allow their managers or promoters or even their team to navigate their career however they see fit. You know, and I don't look at these guys as real men. You know, I'm a true fighter at the end of the day. I'm a true warrior. I'm a gladiator. I'll answer the call to anyone that wants to compete against me. If Tevin Farmer would have beaten Jojo Diaz, I don't want to fight at 130. I want to go straight to 35, but I wouldn't have mind stopping at 130 just because he said he wanted to get that fight. And I would have broke my foot off in his ass just because he mentioned my name. I was willing to do so.
That was my next question, though. Jojo Diaz, a guy that you beat, Tevin Farmer said after Jojo Diaz, you were going to be next. Now, what do? Do you go into you try to go into rematch with Jojo Diaz, or do you still take on Tevin Farmer?
To be honest with you, neither. I can't say this. If Jojo Diaz was to say that he wanted to fight me again, I mean, after the fight, you didn't hear him mention my name. You didn't hear him mention my name or anything. Actually, they pay homage to me by stating that the fight that they fought with me prepared them for the fight with Tevin Farmer. You know, so.
Yes, he did
you know,
say
so
that.
I,
he did say that.
I mean, of course. You know, I give out lessons. He learned something on that particular night, and he was able to take that with him and build on that. You know, I mean, that's what any person's supposed to do. I take my hat off to JoJo Diaz. I always gave JoJo his props. And I felt like if he were to keep pushing and stay focused, he would become a world champion, and that's who he became. You know, but once again, if JoJo Diaz was to say that he wanted to fight me, I don't plan on stopping at 130. But if he was to say he wanted to fight me and he wanted a rematch, I would answer the call. I'm one of those guys. I'm a real fighter. I'm a real fighter. I'm a man's man at the end of the day. You know, I stand on everything I believe. My yes means yes. My no means no. If he wanted to fight me, I would give him an opportunity, and I would move up to 130 just to give him his opportunity at redemption. I think the objective, I still think the outcome would still be the same, you know, but I would definitely give him the opportunity to redeem himself if he wanted to take that fight. But as of now, he ain't say nothing, and Tevin, he done played himself out of pocket. So it's a waste of my time to even think about Tevin. I'm really not thinking about JoJo either because he's not no one that I want to compete against. But if he was to mention my name and say he wanted to fight me, then that's a fight that I would definitely give him.
I like that.
Right. No doubt. Now,
go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, just seeing here real quick, Brother Gary Russell Jr. is going to be staying on here for a little bit because I know that he has something scheduled, and I was going to bring in his father and trainer on here online here in a little bit. So, Gary, are you still on for a couple more moments, or
Of course. Hey, look, I'm suiting up. Hey, look, I'm multitasking right now, and I'm in the gym already, grinding while everybody about to fall asleep. Now, so I'm putting my gear on, getting ready to work while we having this conversation. So we definitely got a little bit more time.
Gotcha. All right, go ahead, Jamil. Got
Gary, why straight to 135? Why not 130? Like, what is
there's nobody that want. There's nobody that I want to compete at 130. There's nobody that I want to compete against at 130. You know, I'm tired of chasing and picking on Leo Santa Cruz. Apparently, they're not trying to make this fight with me, so I'm not going to keep picking on these guys that's not willing to fight back. You know, I want to Javante Tank Davis. I want a rematch with Vasily Lomachenko. You know, and it's a couple of other good guys that's in that weight division. You know, like you said, you got Telefimo Lopez. You got the guy Devin Haney. You got a couple guys that's in that weight division. I just want to be able to put myself in the mix with all these guys. You know, there's a couple things. There's a couple guys that I want to compete against. That's it. That's all. It's real simple with me.
It's a deep weight division, but you add yourself, man, and that's the best division of all.
That's a hell of a weight division, especially when I put myself in it.
Yeah, that'd be the best division of boxing, hands down.
And guess what? Once again, I'm a true fighter. Once I compete at 135, my first fight at 135, if it's not one of these guys that I'm mentioning, I need somebody in the top 10. Anybody in the top 10 is fair game. And guess what? Now that I'm at 135, even a weight class above that, if you're at 140, we can meet at a catch weight.
Ooh.
We can meet at a catch weight.
Yeah, I know that there's a good amount of guys at 140 that, you know, would probably go at the chance. But I think we have.
That's right. That's great. And that'll be great because, you know what, it's so difficult for me to get fights at the weight division that I'm in now. That, you know, apparently, I feel like at some point, I guess these guys must need some sort of a complete disadvantage. So maybe me moving up in weight, that'll give them more than enough advantage to be willing to take the fights at that point.
Gotcha. Now, I think I have 202-367. I think you're on the line. Is this Gary Sr.?
Yes, it is.
Yes, hello.
Hey, what it do?
What's up, man? How you feeling, baby?
Man, you know what I'm doing. I'm already in the gym grinding.
We on route. We right behind you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we have the father and trainer of Mr. Gary Russell Jr. on the line, Gary Sr. Y'all have had him on the show before. Had a great conversation on the last time that we had him, so we had to get him back on here once again with Gary Jr. As he is preparing him and his brothers for that fight card over in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So Gary Sr., so how's it been going, like preparing your sons there for this fight card?
Man, it's been the same thing, man. You know, we've been doing it so long. It's this natural rotation. You know, training camp went well. Everybody's healthy. Thank the Creator. Ready to get up there and turn up, show out, show off.
Hey, show up and show out. I feel you. I feel you there. Now, Gary Jr. has told me about the training regimen there at the Neighbor Boxing Gym, but how he's started from being in the basement in the house or out in the lobby in the apartments, like how that goes into his work ethic. Like, what do you see within him and his brothers that make them seem like they go all out when they're in the ring against their opponent?
Well, it's the way they train. You know, they understand the significance of the sport. You know, it's a hurt sport. Man been training months just to beat you. The ultimate winner in the fight is the knockout. So if you know that somebody's been training for months to knock you unconscious, you're prone to prepare yourself for that. So when they come out, it's like no nonsense.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, with this card here over in Allentown, PA, you see, like, you have Gary Jr. against Susan Yambayar, and Gary Antoine Russell is going up against Jose Marufo, and they're gonna see if we could get Gary Antonio in the card as well. Do you know if that's solidified?
Yes, damn. All three are fighting.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was trying to confirm that one as well. So seeing here that you have with this main event here with Gary Jr. and Tunsat Nyambayar, is there like anything that you kind of see from Nyambayar that you haven't seen with any other opponent that Gary Jr. has had, or do you just say, let's just go in there, see what he got, and then make adjustments on the fly?
We always prepared to make an adjustment on the fly. That's one of our creeds, the diamond shines from all sides. But as far as seeing something we've never seen, very doubtful. Once again, Gary was an Olympian. He had to qualify to the world, so he just didn't fight competitions abroad. He has a wide range of knowledge in dealing with European and different styles. In the amateurs, you don't know who you're going to fight. You just fight the style that's in front of you. But if you've been versed enough to make the Olympic team and win world champions, then you've seen just about everything there is to see, every style that is.
Yeah. True that. Now I did kind of point out to this particular fight the last time I talked with you, and that was the fight with Gary Jr. and JoJo Diaz. And that, you were able to go in there and see what JoJo Diaz was able to do, and then point out a couple of things to your son here, Gary Jr., and he was able to make the adjustments and still use his hand speed in order to take over that bout and get the unanimous decision victory. What do you think that is? How do you think you attribute your on the go training or advice that you give to Gary Jr. or Gary Antoine or Gary Antonio that makes them perform like they do in the ring at fight night?
Well, because they train to do that. I think Gary Jr. said it best. Your first line of defense is your corner. if your corner lacks the creativity in the gym, then you limit your fight as well. Some fighters can either be fast or be strong. Some people can outfight outside and some fight inside. But we work on all of them. Fighting outside, fighting inside. We work on defense. Little subtle moves that would keep them from getting hit. So we try to be versatile. Versatile all around the board, cover all bases.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. Now, I do have a couple of callers on the line here as well. I wanted to see if they had any questions for you, Gary. See ya. 646 or 267, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here, JR.
All right. Anyone have questions for Gary Cien?
I got a question. I just need to know, just how many Gary Russells are there?
There's seven, including myself.
Seven. Okay, because I'm like, I see, like, so many Gary Russells all fight together on one car. I know it's probably a big honor for your family. I know.
It's actually, sorry to cut you off, but it's actually nine because I got two sons and they both named Gary Russell,
right.
Too.
Yep,
really? Wow. And you guys are not related to the Gary Russell that used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
No.
Not that I know.
What do you see for your younger sons as they come up in the boxing game? How soon do you want to see them start becoming like contenders and challenging for world titles?
We're still in the learning stage. And my thing, I really don't want to rush them. My eldest, Gary Jr., and I, we go back and forth because he said they're ready for the next level now. Me, as his dad, I want to kind of slow roll it and let him milk the cow pretty much.
Gotcha. Now, I think Gary Jr. may have dropped off to, I think, get training started. But I'll see if I can contact him to confirm. I do have another caller on the line from the 813. What's going on? You're on the Boxing Source Radio Show.
Hey, what's up, JR? This is a midweek talk on the great sport of boxing. Just trying to see what's going on, and particularly interested in see what's going on with Gary Russell Jr. and his plans, things like that.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, we got Gary Sr. currently on the line here. Gary Jr., I think, just dropped off. So if you have a question for Gary Sr., you can go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Gary, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How you feeling?
Good. So my most immediate question is in terms of Gary Russell Jr. I know he has a fight coming up here this month, which is great to hear, of course. And I've just been watching some film of that opponent. I think it's, what's his name? I can't say this guy's name, so I'm not noticing Mongolia or something like that. But
but
the guy definitely looks like a mismatch for Gary Russell Jr. And why I say that, the guy just has he doesn't do anything special, should I say. He has average speed, average power, things like that. So, but at the same time, that's for granted. And everybody has his own mirror. So with that said, I definitely expect to see your son going in there and showcases his boxing skill set. And just about any fight going in, he's going to have the fastest set of hands. So I definitely expect him going there and dominate. I hope that at that point, what are you guys' plans for Gary Russell in regards to going up in weight 130, 135 and chasing glory and chasing other fights, big fights, that is? Because at this point now, it looks like Gervonta Tate Davis will fight Leo Santa Cruz. That's a guy I know you guys have been looking after. That fight may elude you if he does fight Tank. But I know Gary Jr. himself, he said that he would actually go up to 135. And can you just comment on that right there?
We're looking to fight after this fight. Providing we get past this fight, we're looking to move up. We might bypass 30, go straight to 35, and get some of the bigger names. as far as Tank Davis and Santa Cruz, you know, if we bump into them, fine. We're not chasing nobody. We just want the, you know, bigger fights. I don't think that Tank can make 30. If Santa Cruz just won the belt at 30, Tank at 35, he couldn't make 35 when he fought the kid. So it's hard pressed to see them signing the fight for 30.
Okay. So, and even in looking at the 135 division, you look at the how things have changed within that division with Teofimo Lopez grabbing a belt from Richard Comey. We already know Loma Chico is out there as well at 135. And there's just a host of other names out there as well. Devin Haney, people like that, even though I know he's on the shelf at this point. When you guys survey 135, is there a particular set of opponents that you guys look for, regardless of matchups, style matchups, anything like that? That's, I know you look for the big fights. Are you looking to go right into a title fight, or just how you guys survey 135?
I'm not sure how the politics go. If he doesn't have to relinquish his 26, he can move up the next weight class and challenge the champion mandatorily. But going up two weight classes, it may differ. at this point in Gary's career, he's twilight. He's damn near at the end of it. So right now, he's willing to fight any of them guys. One in particular, Roman Chico, Gary promises that Chico got to see him before he retires. If Chico go up to 40, Gary may climb up to 40 just to fight him.
And that's great, 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 great to hear, because the one thing we know about that Tibby, your son, fights once a year, so it's great to see him. Even in that regard, do you expect to have another fight this year instead of just your typical one fight?
Man, that's been the plan the whole time. You know, contrary to popular demand, you know, people would think that we just won the fight like Santa Claus. It's going to be simple. You know, but that's not the case. You know, there's a lot of political stuff going on behind the scenes, and we've always been willing and wanting to fight more than once a year.
Okay.
Yep.
You have like one more question?
Yeah, just one more. Remind me of your promotional, who you guys are promoted by, and the reason why I even bring that up, because as you seek fights in against other top fighters, as we know in boxing, a lot of times people don't want to fight you because you who you're promoted by. So who are you guys promoted by? And then if from that point, have you considered running into any problems targeting a certain fighter that may be with another promotional banner?
Okay, you're talking about the other side of the street. Actually, at this point, we're not under contract with any promoter or manager. We have a good working relationship with Mr. Heyman, who's still been dealing with us, but no, we're not under any contract, promoter or manager.
Says just fight by fight there. All right, real quick, I got another call in here from the 419. You're on the Boxing Source Radio Show. What's good? Yo, 419, you here? All right, I think he did drop off, so let me see.
Come on.
All right. Maybe they'll be able to get back on. Yo.
All right, Mr. Russell. Gary Antoine, Jerron Bouton is a very exciting fight in the amateur. Can we look forward to that fight in the professional ring?
We don't know. I mean, time will tell. Like I said, you know, they put Bruce on a fast track after his loss to Antoine. I think by the time Antoine went pro, Bruce may have already had about 5 or 6 pro fights. You know, and he's doing good. He's moving up the ladder, and I'm proud of him that he's doing what he's doing. I watched his last fight, and honestly, I didn't see much change. I didn't see a whole bunch of change in the style. So that's something, you know, we'd embrace. If it comes up, we'll take it.
Gotcha. All right, let me see if I can try 419 again. You live with us, 419?
You talking to me? I'm just listening.
Okay. Yeah. That's who it was. I was just trying to check if you wanted to speak on it or something like that. So, all right, then.
Oh, no.
You're all good. All right, gotcha. All right, so, yeah, Gary Senior, Brother Jamil did bring up, you know, the thing there with, Boone Cenas and Gary Antoine. So, that may possibly be something to look for in the future. I mean, not like this year or anything like that, but, you know, something
down
the line is, the next wave of fighters are there at that particular weight class, you know?
Oh, that'll definitely be the next wave of fighters. like I said, I think Boots got, 18, 19 fights?
25. Yeah.
Okay, now Antoine has, 12 knockouts? 12 fights, 12. 12 knockouts.
Yep.
So you can see there's a big space in between how many opponents Boots have and Antoine. So we're going to take our time, and if that fight comes up, we'll walk it down and we'll take it. It looks to come out victorious.
Oh, I like that fight, man. I like that fight. Is there anybody that you want besides Tank Davis at 135? There's like another name that, like, we know you want Lomachenko, we know you want Tank. Is there another guy like, I want a Devin Haney or Ryan Garcia? Is there somebody that you definitely want?
Ryan Garcia not fighting them.
We'll take, Devin Haney. Like you say, boxing has changed. You know, you got a lot of these young kids, man, coming up. And I don't know if the promoters are just like cashing in early. Okay, let's throw him out there, get him a belt. Now he's a champ. You know, you got a kid that really has no long-term experience. As far as I can remember, Devin Haney, I don't really remember Devin from the amateurs. You, Antoine? I don't remember from the amateurs. You know, athletic kid, good fighter, got sound technique, but he hasn't been tested. You know what I mean? He hasn't really been out there long enough. I think just to feed him, give him a title. 3-4 fights, then you got a title. So you can't fight down. You can only fight up from that point.
Yeah, that is true. They did get the thing with Devin Haney for him to be put in a position to fight for the WBC lightweight title and for him to win it then. And now he's, champion in recess until he kind of recovers from his shoulder injury. So he do have that. We were talking about Antoine Russell. He will be on this fight card in the PPO Center in Allentown against Jose Marufo. So what are you trying to see what he could do here in this particular bout? And, like you said, what would be next for him within that super lightweight division or later on down the line, the welterweight division, if possible?
Well, we look at one fight at a time. We look at this kid we're fighting. I saw a tape on him briefly, really aggressive, comes forward, applies pressure from ding to ding, from bell to bell. So we got to break him and slow him up, get the victory. Then we'll just go back to the board and see what's next. So I can't make no actual date for really moving him up to, say, that championship level. We just take it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have Antoine right here beside me.
Oh, okay. I don't know if he's able to talk.
What I can say is that we will get there eventually. It's not a matter of time or when or if. It's inevitable.
Yeah, I feel you. See, because I know that, you're just working on what you're able to work on within the time frame that you have and, with the opponents that you have right in front of you. Because, I've, talked with you briefly, after I think it was your last encounter that was that was there over at the MGM National Harbor. And, you know, you were able to give that TKO victory over Juan Huertas on November 2nd. So, you know, it's just basically working from that point forward. And then once, you know, the opportunity comes for those higher profile fights, I know that, you know, your father will get you ready for that.
Definitely. And I got all trust in him. Like you said prior to, you're amateur, the highest achievement you can get to is the Olympics, gold medal. When you're professional, the highest achievement that you can get to is having a world title belt, having a world champion.
And I think that the pedigree from the amateur really sets you up for, you know, the professional career, because you have to fight
right
so many different styles.
Mm-hmm.
It was also
right.
This is Gary Antoine back on. That was also mm-hmm. the main reason on why I said it's inevitable. It was inevitable for me to go to the Olympics when I was an amateur. It was going to keep knocking and keep working and shaving until we became an Olympian. So we got on the U.S. scene. And then when we get on the U.S. scene, we keep knocking and shaving until we get a medal. We worked all the way up to that point with some controversy, with some politics stuff going on, and we fell short. But life goes on. Time don't wait for no one. My father had his
mm-hmm.
best interest. He had the idea, and I followed suit. I just followed it blindly because I trust him. Now that I'm professional, he got my career starting off wonderfully. 12-0, 12 knockouts. He's been continuing
yep.
training me. He's been continuing molding me, not just me and Junior and Gary Antonio Russell. And like I said about the Olympics, professionally, the most highest thing you can do is become a world champion. And it's not about an if or could, it's inevitable. It's a matter of time.
Yep. Now, I'm not sure if you overheard when we had one caller in here talk about Boots Enos. I know that you and John Boots Enos had competed in the amateur ranks.
Right.
Like, what's the, you know, perspective of maybe having that fight in the future, like not immediately, but I would say maybe 12 months down the line or so?
It's honestly the way the Boston dynamic is being tugged and pulled politician wise. You never know when I see him. If he stay at the weight class, it's very likely for me to see him. You know, he got a lot of fights at this point. I'm still going. I'm not saying that I ain't prepared for him. Put him in the Olympics.
Put him in the Golden Gloves.
Put him in the Golden Gloves. So it's not a thing of me being ready. You can throw me in there with Keith Thurman or Sean Porter, and I'm going to hold my own. I shocked the world due to my training. My father training me, my conditioning. You know, but like you said before, we take one fight at a time. I got a rough guy in front of me. He came with the shoulder pads and his helmet. He's bringing pressure, applying pressure, hard pressure, too, from being to me. I don't slouch or sleep on no one that's in front of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
But to answer your question, it's likely. But due to politics, we don't know how it would go.
Yeah, we were definitely entertained at that fight. I think Boots is fighting at 47, right?
Yeah.
I believe I did him call Earl Smith or something like that, right?
He's at 47. We're at 40. You know, I mean, we can grow to it. Only time will tell how that situation will go. Now, I'm sure Boots would probably want to fight his father because they want some get back. They took 3 losses to us.
Yeah. Now, just seeing here, we got like 9 callers here. Anyone else has questions for Mr. Gary Antoine Russell or Gary Sr.?
No, I'm good, JR. Thanks a lot.
What was the record between you and Boots? You got three victories. Did he ever beat you in amateur?
He beat me the first fight at Olympic Trials. He gave Boots a nod on point.
A one-point victory.
So that put him in the losing bracket. Which meant he had to fight all the way back from the losing bracket and come back to fight Boots again and fight him two more times to declare the winner for the Olympics. But before that, we fought in the Golden Glove Nationals. And they beat Boots in the championships of the Golden Glove Nationals as well.
That's a nice story, man.
Yep. What was that, Jamil?
I said that's a nice little backstory, nice storyline.
Yeah, that's I think they do have I think I looked up the record there. It's Antoine has three wins to one, you know, on him. So like I said, he had that first fight in 2014, and then the initial thing for the trials and. Then he beat Jaron Ennis twice I think it was to qualify there.
I think if I could have one second. I think the first fight in the Olympics, trials, they gave the nod to Boots. Boots' father was yelling, "He's done it. Oh, he can't come back from that. It's over. Man, he's done. That was your championship fight." I looked at his father and told him, "I'll see you in the championships." And lo and behold, championships came up, and it was Ennis and my son Antoine. And they wanted to do a little wager on the side. They did a little bet with Junior. The first fight, Junior lost. But when Antoine started coming back, I think he had to fight like five or six more fights to get back to Boots. And when he won the sixth fight, they lined him up to fight him the second time in the tournament, they wouldn't bet us. They bet the first time, but they seen what was coming. Nah, we ain't betting, man.
I was thirsty. That's how it went down.
That's how it went down, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's a good one there. That's a good one. So I think right now, are y'all about, going into the gym for final preparations? Because I think y'all are scheduled to go up to Pennsylvania tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah, we sitting out front of our gym now. Honestly, you holding us up.
No. But that's what we do, man. If they ask the kids, in the summer, what you doing in the gym? In the fall, what you doing? In the gym? In the winter, what you doing? In the gym? On birthdays, what you doing? In the gym? On my anniversary, where you at? In the gym? So it's something we do just repetitiously all the time.
Yeah.
We live in the gym.
Gotcha. 24/7, 365. That's pretty much what it is.
I was on the Olympic team trying to
win my spot on Olympic team
on my birthday. I was gone on my birthday.
It's
nothing to see this profession as a
second
nature thing.
True. Now, I see that y'all about to step into the gym right now. So, I'm gonna leave y'all to it because y'all gotta get to work. You know what I'm saying? So, once again, thanks for, coming on, Brother Antoine and Gary Sr., for being part of the Boxing Source Radio Show. You know what I mean?
Man, we thank you for having us, man.
Yeah, and I'll, be out there in Allentown, PA to see y'all in action.
All right.
Yes, sir. All right. That was them on the line. So, basically, you had WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. on the line, and then Gary Sr. came on. Then he was able to add Gary Antoine, the last Russell. So, like I said, thank them for coming on the line and talking about what's coming up in Allentown, Pennsylvania on February 8th. You have that main event there with Gary Russell Jr. against Tucson Jan Bayar. And then, you know, Gary Antoine Russell will be against Jose Marrufo in that fight card. You also do have Guillermo Rigondeaux going up against Laborio Solis in that fight card as well. So,
let's go, Rigo.
Let's go, Rigo there. So that's, you know, pretty much what we have. That's going to be live on Showtime. I think that's scheduled for, I think it's 9 o'clock. Let me see if I could confirm the time thing on it. Yeah, the Showtime telecast will be at 9 o'clock, but you'll have, I think, Antoine and Antonio on beforehand, so I'll be looking forward to that. That pretty much, you know, covers what I had in reference to the, you know, them being online. Is there, like, anything quickly from any of y'all before I sign out?
Yo, yeah, what are your thoughts on Tank Davis getting arrested?
Oh, man. Hey, look.
Javonte Davis not guilty.
Yo, we saw the video. What is this, the R. Kelly P tape now?
Yeah,
we saw the video.
Oh, God.
You remember the Kells Jay-Z joke?
Don't let me do a Jay-Z line knowing I don't like Jay-Z. Talking about H to the Izzo, V to the Izzo, not guilty. Y'all got to feel me. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh, man.
You heard what Jay said.
Listen, and Matt, you know, I had to read it from your boy Rick Glazer when I saw that before I started this thing. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Tank Davis getting arrested. Oh boy, we're gonna see if this is gonna be a repeat of Floyd Mayweather Jr. or not. We'll see. I mean.
He's taking the pace from Adrian Broner. That's what he's doing.
I don't know about Adrian Broner because I don't remember Adrian Broner beating up no chicks. I remember him beating up a dude because he lost a bet in a bowling alley. But I don't remember him beating up no chicks.
No, he just gropes them in the club.
Yeah.
Different though.
I can't.
It was the Henny that got to him, man. That's gonna be his excuse.
Oh, jeez.
All right, remind me not to go clubbing with Jamil. I do not want to catch no charges.
Hey, yo, I don't know, man. Hey,
didn't you
catch
a charge in New York? That's how y'all do your news at home, man.
Oh goodness, man! Oh boy.
Yo, if it worked for the president, why not for AB? I'm just saying.
Hey, man. Y'all. On that note, close this shit out, JR, please.
Yo, we gotta be out.
Wait.
Yo,
back to boxing. I got a question, right?
What you were saying? Yo, Jamil, you on?
I'm good, man. You good? Close it out, man.
All right, yo, yeah. Yo, that's it for this. Yo, that's it for this version of the Boxing Source Radio Show. We had that special interview with Mr. Gary Russell Jr., man. I thank, you know, y'all for calling in and asking in the questions, Brother Matt, Brother Jamil, Brother Terrell. And like I said, thanks to Gary Jr., thanks to Gary Sr., thanks to Gary Antoine Russell for coming on. Be sure to catch them on Showtime, February 8th in Allentown, Pennsylvania. On that note, folks, I am out. Peace. peace.